Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Mark Martin.
And I'm Ed Short.
And we're back in the studio this evening. This is Sunday, July 5th, 2026. It's good to be back here in the studio where the mics sound good.
Happy birthday.
To me?
Yeah.
To the USA, that's right, huh? Yeah. That's right. I guess yesterday, Sabbath was 250 years that this country has declared its independence from...
No king and no pope.
No king and no pope. We've talked about that quite a bit over the years, haven't we? So it's really good to have everybody here. And if you want more information on that no king or no pope, there is a couple of sermons on the website called the USA and Bible Prophecy.
Revelation 13.
Revelation chapter 13. It's really interesting when we look at those things and we're seeing... Go ahead.
I was going to say, these chapters in Revelation 13 and beginning of 14 is where we're at in history right now in the world.
Yes, we are. Yeah.
These things are happening. The two-horned, lamb-like beast is speaking as a dragon.
Yeah.
The United States is speaking like a dragon, and it's setting up, getting ready to set up an image to the first beast of... Revelation 13.
Yeah, so I'm sure there's a lot of people with question marks over their heads. So we can talk more about this in the near future. In fact, we're going to be spending some time this fall. We're going to have three lectures on the angels in Revelation chapter 14.
Yeah, in September?
September, yes. It'll be the first... At the beginning of September. Yeah. Here in America, we have Labor Day, and it'll be right before that Labor Day. It'll be... that Thursday, Friday, and we'll do the Sabbath morning will be the actual, the Sabbath is Saturday,
yes.
And we'll have that last lecture on that morning. And it's Revelation chapter 14. We're going to pick, I think we're going to begin in verse 6, if I'm not mistaken. And there are three angels in Revelation, and they all have a message to declare.
Yes, it's really the last warning in the Bible.
It is. And so we believe from the Bible that this is the time period that we're living in. In fact, as we go through Matthew chapter 15 in our studies, which we're going to do some of today, we will come to Matthew 24 where he talks about these things in detail. So that's one of my favorite chapters of Matthew. So I'm kind of looking forward to get there. But Ed, tell us a little bit about Prophecies of Hope, would you?
You know, we're just a small little ministry, really insignificant in the
yes.
grand scheme of things. But God has given us this ministry to accomplish, hopefully, His purposes, whatever they may be. We have a little church in Stanton, Virginia, 1743 West Beverly Street. It's not a secret. Come visit us. Let us know ahead of time. We'll have a meal for you. We have services on Wednesday evening, prayer time / Bible study time at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, available via Zoom. And then we have our church service on Saturday, the Sabbath, the seventh day of the week. People are confused about which day is the seventh day of the week.
So true.
And so we have a Bible study called Sabbath School that begins at 9:30, available via Zoom and live stream on our website. And our church service is live streamed.
Okay, and you mentioned that it's not a secret, but sometimes when you tune in, you would think it was a secret because there's really very few people that come in person.
Yeah.
Most people are tuned in online via Zoom or stream, and even that is not many people. And I think the reason why is because a lot of people don't want to hear just the Word of God.
Right.
They want people to tell them what's comfortable, what they want to hear. And I'll be honest, Ed, the Bible, when I read it, it's not always comfortable for me.
Right.
It makes me uncomfortable because I look at my personality and say, I'm not walking in the Spirit as I should be.
Right.
So that this is what God's Word does. It should convict us to want to walk in the Spirit according to Jesus Christ. So if somebody wants to contact you, Ed, how do they do that?
You can reach me, Ed, at prophecyhope.com.
You can reach me, Mark, at prophecyhope.com. And if you can't remember our names, you can simply send an email to office@prophecyhope.com. Just give us a couple of days to answer because we are very busy people. We stay busy a lot, and I don't always get to check my email every single day. And so if you email me, I will reply, and as long as I get it. Sometimes they go into spam, so I do check those spam folders once a week. But give us an opportunity. Also, if somebody needs a Bible, Ed, what do we do?
Well, let us know. We'll try to get one to you. We have physical Bibles that we can mail out. Mm-hmm. There's many Bibles available via the internet that are free. And sometimes we've gone through different merchants to send Bibles to different countries that mm-hmm. it may not be, you know, financially efficient to ship something from the U.S. to Africa, right. Let's say.
Sure. Yeah, that can cost hundreds of dollars, where if we use another avenue, sometimes we can get them there for much less money.
Right.
And just as good a Bible as what we're using here.
Or trying to find a Bible in someone's own language can be a little challenging.
That is difficult.
Sometimes.
You've worked with a brother on that, haven't you? Trying to get Bibles in a language. And is it Uganda?
It's Ghana. And
Ghana. Why do I keep saying
the language is Twi?
Yeah.
T-W-I?
Yeah, I think that's how he said it. Yeah. Twi or tree. It was interesting. He actually came to visit us. Is he coming back?
Yes, he's coming back in a week or two.
Okay, very good. So that'll be nice to see him again. But we also want to thank Ray Powers. He texted me this week and this past week, and it was good to talk to him. He sent me a voice text, and he wasn't sure if we were going to be doing a program this 4th of July weekend. Mm-hmm. And I said, no, we're going to be there. We're going to be doing it. So it was good that he was ready to cover us. He was ready to jump in there. And we appreciate all that he does, because he makes it possible every week for us to be here on the air and for us to make this program happen in spite of the things that we talk about that a lot of people don't want to hear that are very controversial. So
today may be one of those talks.
Oh, okay. Matthew chapter 15. That's where we're going to pick up.
Right.
So, Ed, you want to get us started with a prayer, please?
Sure. Let's go ahead and bow our heads. Father in heaven, we're again grateful to be able to open your word, the Bible, and to study it, that we can read for ourselves, we can hear the words on the page to what your word actually says in terms of the way of salvation through your Son, in terms of how we should live our lives and the difficulties we all face and how we can overcome through your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, as we study the chapter of 15 of Matthew, may we be honest about what it says, and may we apply these things to our lives. And we thank you for the gift of knowledge that you give us from the promise of your word. So, Father, give us wisdom and knowledge to understand these things, and guide us by the Spirit of truth. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. So, Edward, you said we're picking up in Matthew 15. So, what are we going to be studying?
Let's just read the first section, verses 1 through 9, and then we'll get into the meat of the account in the next verses after that.
Okay.
But this will set us up the situation that Jesus is dealing with.
All right.
So, if you would read verses 1 through 9 of Matthew 15.
Okay, and I'm reading this from the New King James Bible. It says, "Then the scribes and Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus, saying, 'Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread.' He answered and said to them, 'Why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? For God commanded, saying, "Honor your father and your mother. He who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, "Whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God," then he need not honor his father or mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. Hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, "These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men."
So the issue here is in verse 2, that they're accusing Jesus' disciples of not washing their hands when they eat bread.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a transgression of God's law.
Well,
that's not what it says.
It doesn't say
the tradition of the elders.
It was their tradition, the thing that they've said.
So if you take some time and look at the history of this, you'll find this is a tradition that has nothing to do with hygiene. It's a type of self-purification. And today, there are Orthodox Jews that still follow this tradition. You can actually buy online a cup with two handles to perform this washing of your hands. Why two handles? Because so the unwashed hand doesn't pollute the wash hand.
Aha, okay.
And so you wash one hand, then the other hand, and apparently you do this 2 to 3 times. And this is a tradition before you eat bread. And this is continued today. There are a variation of this tradition among the Jews that I found online. They use it occasionally for different things as well. But this is continued to be practiced today. So the Pharisees back in this time are saying, why aren't your disciples obeying us?
Right.
Following our tradition, what we've created. And the idea behind where did this come from? Well, apparently in the sanctuary services, the priests would have to wash their hands.
Right.
Prior to doing certain things. Mm-hmm. This cleansing, the labor that's in
yes.
the courtyard. And so this is where the Jews of today think this comes from, this tradition. And the Pharisees, for whatever reason, the rabbis decided to incorporate this to the general population of the Jewish nation.
So in other words, you're saying what they've done at this time that we're reading about is the religious leaders have put a law, they call it,
yes.
upon the people that is a man-made law.
Yes.
And Jesus is saying, hey, wait a minute, this is your tradition. But the commandments of God, you're telling people to keep this, but you're breaking the very commandment of God.
Right. You know, this is not about hygiene.
Yes, that's
this
true.
This is about tradition of doing this for a type of self-purification. And so this is what they're being accused of. And Jesus comes back with them and says, why do you also transgress the commandment of God mm-hmm. by your tradition?
Right. So just to make clear, when you say it's not about hygiene, we're not saying that you shouldn't wash your hands before
no,
you eat.
You should wash your hands.
Absolutely. But this particular account, they weren't worried about the hygienic portion of it. They were worried about breaking their tradition.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a way of self-purification. Okay, I'm being obedient.
Oh, that reminds me, when you said self-purification, I grabbed a pen and was writing that down. Self-purification, that would be, we call that self-righteousness,
yes.
right?
I'm making myself look good or making myself good by doing these things.
Or trying to cleanse myself
right.
through a certain ritual.
Right. So, Jesus compares their tradition to them breaking the law of God, the commandment of God, by their traditions.
Mm-hmm.
In verse 4, he says, for God commanded, saying, honor your father and mother. That's the fifth commandment in the Ten Commandments.
Yes.
And he who speaks evil of father or mother, let him die by death. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever you would gain from me, it is a gift to God. What is that talking about? What's happening here?
But you, so he's speaking to the Pharisees.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying the Pharisees are saying, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God. It seems like they're putting the tradition over actually honoring the father
sure.
and the mother.
The tradition of the day was, it's called Korban, and if you look at the same account in Mark chapter 7, at least in the modern King James, it's called Korban. What's happened here, as parents age, the children are to take care of them.
Okay.
And to help provide for them. And what the excuse is, the money that these children have, they say, well, this is a gift to God. I'm saving this to God. You can't use it because it's a gift to God. Although they never use it as a gift of God. It's just an excuse to not support their parents in their as they're aging or whatever needs they may have.
Right.
And so this is the tradition of the Jews, or at least at that time. And Jesus is calling them out on it. You're breaking the law of God by saying you're not honoring your father and mother. You're not caring for them like you should. And so the Jews are accusing Jesus' disciples of breaking the tradition of the elders And Jesus is saying, by your traditions, you're breaking the law of God.
Yeah. That verse that you're talking about in Mark is Mark 7, verse 11.
Yeah.
And it says the same thing in the New King James. It uses that word Corban. Okay.
Yeah, we need to let's go to Mark 7 just briefly so we can understand what this is all about.
Sure.
In verses 3 and 4 of Mark 7, it says, "For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they immerse their hands with the fist, holding the tradition of the elders. And coming from the market, they do not eat without immersing. And there are many other things which they have received to hold, the dippings of cups and pots and of copper vessels and of tables, part of the tradition of their religion."
So Mark is filling in the gap here with the things that you said that you understood. It's right here.
Yeah. So it's just trying to gain an understanding of the context of what they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So we have this conflict here. The Pharisees, the Jews, are accusing the disciples of breaking the tradition of the elders because they're not washing their hands, not for hygiene, but for other purposes. And Jesus is saying, by your tradition, you break the law of God. And he goes on to say that Isaiah prophesied of you, "The people draw near me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men."
Mm.
They're not truly worshiping God because they're not obeying God's commandments. That's what he's saying here.
Yes.
Who you obey is who you worship. And a lot of people don't like when I say that.
They don't. It's true.
But it's true. Who you obey, do you obey God and keep his commandments, or do you honor the traditions of men that are in the churches today?
We just had a conversation right before these mics went hot, and you were telling me about a specific church and their seminary.
Yes.
And they disbarred their seminary because they were teaching things that the church people didn't want to hear.
Yeah, they were teaching the Word of God. And so they kicked the seminary out of the church.
Unbelievable. And this is what we can expect.
Right. And so let's get to the meat story here. So, Mark, if you could read verses 10 through 20, and people, preachers, YouTubers, churches, denomination, totally destroy the verses that you're about to read.
Okay. So keep that in mind as we're reading through it, right?
Yes.
Okay, so this is Matthew chapter 15, and we're picking up in verse 10. It says, when Jesus had called the multitude to himself, he said to them, "Hear and understand. Not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man." Then his disciples came and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying?" But he answered and said, "Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into a ditch." Then Peter answered and said to him, "Explain this parable to us." So Jesus said, "Are you also still without understanding? Do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man." So it's what comes out of the mouth, he's saying, defiles a man. Verse 19, "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man."
And again, we're talking about the tradition of the elders to wash your hands prior to eating bread. It's not about hygiene. It's about a form of self-purification.
Okay.
So Jesus is saying, to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. It's what is in your heart that leads to these other things, this sin, this iniquity that defiles you.
Yes.
Makes you unrighteous, makes you unclean.
Unclean. That's right. That's right.
And so this is about what's in the heart. Yet people misuse these texts and say, oh, you can eat whatever you want.
You know, this verse, what it says in verse 11, mm-hmm. has been used on me when people know that I stick to the biblical diet.
Right.
And here's, they just go to this chapter, Matthew chapter 15, and they pull out this one verse and say, not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man. But they don't read the context as we just read it.
Right.
The context is not food.
They're looking for an excuse to justify the sin in their life, and sin is eating what God says you shouldn't eat.
Right. That's right. We should not eat the things that God says not to eat. And then here, they read this one verse without reading the rest of it, because verse 20 sums it up when he says, these are the things which defile a man, talking about the murders, the adulteries, right. the blasphemies. He says, but he doesn't say what you eat doesn't matter. He says, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man.
Yeah.
There's the context of this whole passage.
Right.
And it's unfortunate that people, it's unfortunate that people look at this and they just say, well, you can do whatever you want.
See, they're taught this in the churches. Preachers are preaching this.
I was taught this all of my life.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize this. In fact, when I first realized that God has a biblical diet for us, mm-hmm. I shared this with someone and they said, oh, don't you know Matthew chapter 15 tells you you don't have to worry about that? And at the time, I wasn't real familiar with this whole passage.
Right.
But it made me look at it again.
Right.
And then when I looked at it again, I realized this isn't even, they completely misapplied the verse.
People use Mark 7 the same way.
Yes, that's true.
You know, it's what comes out of the heart defiles you. It's not talking about the washing of hands defiling you. It's what comes out of your heart, what's in your heart. It's your character, your
yes.
personality. Are you obedient to God? Do you love God and keep His commandments? And His commandments are not a burden, as 1 John chapter 5 says. And so people use this verse, these verses in Matthew 15, as well as Mark 7, to justify eating what the Bible calls unclean things. So what are unclean things?
As far as
eating.
As far as eating, well, the Bible actually spells that out for us back here.
In Leviticus chapter 11.
Leviticus and in Deuteronomy chapter 13 as well.
Okay.
So let's just, can we take a moment and look at that?
Yes, I think that would be good. And hold on to your hats. You may have never heard this before. You may not like what you hear, but this is what God's Word says. I'm going to read verses 1 through, I don't know, it could be the whole chapter, but let's start in verse 1. And Jehovah, God, Yahweh, Jehovah, whatever name you want to use for God, spoke to Moses and to Aaron, saying to them, speak to the sons of Israel, saying, these are the animals which you shall eat among all the animals that are in the earth. Whatever divides the hoof and is cloven-footed, chewing the cud, among the animals you shall eat. Only you shall not eat these of them that chew the cud, or of them that divide the hoof. The camel, he chews the cud, but he does not divide the hoof. He is unclean to you. The rock badger, because he chews the cud, but does not divide the hoof, he is unclean to you. And the hare, because he chews the cud, but does not divide the hoof, he is unclean to you. And swine, was swine, it's pig.
Mm-hmm.
Though he divides the hoof and is cloven-footed, yet he does not chew the cud, he is unclean to you. You shall not eat of their flesh. You shall not touch their dead body. They are unclean to you.
So let's make this clear. From what you're reading, this is really clear. It's saying that if the animal does not chew the cud and have a divided hoof.
Those two things.
If it doesn't have both,
yes.
then it's unclean.
Right.
It has to both chew the cud and have the divided hoof. So this is important.
This is talking about what many people love to eat today is pork.
So the first argument that somebody's going to make here, Ed,
is Matthew 15 and Mark 7.
That's what they're going to do. And then when you show them this, they're also going to say, well, wait a minute. It says here, this is for the Jews. That's the first thing that this is what people do to me when I share this. It says, and they'll even look at it, they'll say, Jehovah spoke to Moses saying, speak to the children of Israel. And they'll say, this is for Israel. And so how do we answer that? I think before we go on, we need to look at something, because I don't want people distracted by this thought.
Sure.
So this, the Israelites were claimed as God's people in the Old Testament. I think that's pretty obvious. But when we go back to before there were any Israelites.
Yes, in Genesis.
In Genesis. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 7. And I always love to ask this question. When I'm witnessing to somebody, I always say to them, how many of each kind of animal did Noah bring upon the ark? And they'll always say, and I did the same thing, they'll always say two.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll say, that's the answer I expected. But
that's not right.
Let's see what the Bible says. So Genesis chapter 7, in verse 1, from the New King James, it says, then the Lord, and that's the Tetragrammaton, so that would be Jehovah, the Lord said to Noah, come into the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. You shall take with you seven each of every clean animal, a male and his female, two each of animals that are unclean, a male and his female. Why is this significant?
Unclean?
It mentions Noah had to know the difference between a clean animal and an unclean animal in order to do this.
Was Noah Jewish?
No. Noah.
Is it like the same thing with the Sabbath? Well, the Sabbath is for the Jews. Well, if you look at Genesis chapter 2, the first three verses, it is God who created the day of rest, who sanctified it and made it holy. I didn't know God was Jewish.
He had a people who were Jewish, right? And so we look at this account here. This is so interesting to me, Ed, because I'd always missed the sevens. In fact, in elementary school, we used to sing a song that Noah loaded the ark two by two. And it never mentions the sevens.
Right.
So there's a reason why there's seven and two.
Yes.
The uncleans are only by twos.
The clean are because the clean animals were also used for the sacrifices to God. An unclean animal was not to be used as a sacrifice for God. And of course, this impacts the history of the Jews in terms of being overrun by other nations. Antiochus Epiphanes caused the Jews to sacrifice pigs on the altar in the temple to the point of death.
Yeah.
Because they knew that was an abomination to God, and those are the animals that they used to sacrifice to their gods.
Yeah, that's horrible. So they had to have animals to sacrifice.
Yeah, after the flood.
After the flood. And it was after the flood that God said it was okay for them to eat the meat. And of course, they wouldn't eat the unclean meat. They knew they were unclean. They were called unclean,
right?
So why would you eat anything unclean? And two, if they ate, let's suppose they came off the ark and they said, well, let's slaughter that pig and eat it. Well, what happens to the pig? They become extinct.
Yeah.
Because you just killed one of them.
Right.
So they weren't eating unclean animals. They were only going to eat the clean animals. And later on, when we look at this account, when we look at the Bible accounts, and we see that we are not to put anything unclean into our body, this body is the temple of God,
the dwelling.
Yeah. And that's what the temple is. It's the dwelling place of God.
Right.
So if I'm going to have God dwell and his son dwell in me, how can I bring anything unclean into the temple? You weren't allowed to take, like you said, any unclean animal into the temple for sacrifice.
Right.
So why would I put something unclean into my body? I wouldn't.
You know, God is the creator of the heavens and the earth. He created everything through his son, Jesus Christ, his only begotten son.
Yes.
I think he knows what is good for the human body and what's not.
Absolutely.
When you look at the animals that are prohibited from being eaten, most of them are scavengers, mm-hmm. cleaning up the earth.
That's what they do. He created them for a reason.
Yeah.
To keep things clean.
So we need to continue in Leviticus 11,
sure.
9, because it talks about more. It says, these you shall eat of all that are in the waters, whatever has fins and scales in the waters, in the seas, and in the rivers, them you shall eat. Again, two characteristics, mm-hmm. scales and fins.
Yes.
And all that have not fins and scales in the sea and the rivers and all that move in the waters, and of any living thing that is in the waters, they shall be an abomination to you. They shall even be an abomination to you. You shall not eat of their flesh, but you shall have their carcasses in abomination. Whatever has no fins nor scales in the water shall be an abomination to you. And again, it talks about fowls of the air, and you shall have. And you shall have these an abomination among the fowls. They shall not be eaten. They are an abomination, the eagle, the black vulture, and the bearded vulture, the kite, and the falcon, according to his kind, even the raven, according to his kind, and the ostrich, and the great owl, and the gull, and the small hawks, according to his kind, the little owl, and the cormorant, and the eared owl, and the barn owl, and the pelican, the owl vulture, and the stork, the heron according to its kind, and the hoopoe, and the bat. Every flying, swarming creature going on all fours is an abomination to you. And it just goes on and it tells you what God says is okay to eat and not to eat.
Yes, it's very, the whole chapter.
Yeah.
The whole chapter is dedicated to what's clean and unclean. This, go ahead.
So when we go back to Matthew chapter 15, people are trying to use this account in Matthew 15 about the washing of hands, and again, it's not for hygiene, as an excuse to be able to eat all these things that God says don't eat.
This is also these unclean animals are repeated in the book of Deuteronomy. What's clean and unclean. I wanted to point out something, though.
Sure.
There was a word that kept coming up in that list of things that we're not supposed to eat. It kept saying it's an abomination.
Right.
It's an abomination to you. It's an abomination. I looked that word up while you were reading. This is from Strong's. It says, abomination, detestable thing, something completely detestable or unclean, an unclean idol. Filth. So it says an idolatrous object.
Mm-hmm.
So if God declares that something is an abomination, would he later say, well, no, that's okay. It's not filthy anymore.
So many preachers and churches are teaching this.
It's unbelievable. If he declares something that is unclean, it is unclean. That's just the way it is. And again, think, friends, think about what we are doing. We need to be ready for the coming of Jesus Christ. We need to be clean, not just on the outside of the cup,
right.
but on the inside.
Right.
Right?
You know, these things have an effect on your body.
Absolutely.
It's not for good.
Ed, I had high cholesterol at one time, and my doctor told me that if I didn't start taking, this was years and years ago, if I didn't start taking cholesterol medicine, that I could have a heart attack.
Mm-hmm.
And so this was about the same time that I learned about the biblical diet. And it was unbelievable. I didn't realize that these unclean things, for example, and I'm going to step on some toes here, shrimp and lobster and crabs and clams and oysters.
You grew up in Baltimore.
Yes. And when you live in a coastal city and you that's what you eat.
Yeah.
That's a huge part of your diet. And cutting those things out of my diet, those bottom dwellers, my cholesterol dropped. I never had to go on the medication. And I don't like taking medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And God has blessed me with that, with really, I've had great health.
You know, this is, maybe some of you are hearing this for the first time. I don't know. It may be difficult for you to hear. I don't know. So many pastors, so many churches, and this is just one subject of error that's taught, of falsehood that's taught in so many churches today. They seems like their purpose is to make people comfortable sitting in the pew, make them feel good about themselves, make them feel okay in their sin. And this is an abomination. This is sin. This is being disobedient to God. And sin is simply transgressing God's law, being disobedient to God. And so we all have choices to make in our lives. Are we going to obey God? Do we believe he knows what's best for us? Do we want to honor him? Do we love him? Or do I just want to do what I want to do? And I can find a YouTuber on YouTube that says, oh, this has been done away with. And they go to their pet verses in Romans 14 and different places like Matthew 15 and Mark 7 and say, oh, it's been done away with. We can eat anything you want. Yeah. And it's just not there.
You know, I'd like to show one last text about this, and it's found in Isaiah in the context of the new heavens and the new earth.
Okay.
And I think this is really important to point out to people because so many people will argue this point, and it's in Isaiah chapter 66. And if you look at this chapter, it's all about the new heavens and the new earth. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it says here, I'm just going to begin in verse 14. It says, when you see this, your heart shall rejoice, and your bones shall flourish like grass, and the land of Jehovah shall be known to his servants, and his indignation to his enemies. For behold, Jehovah will come with fire, and with his chariots like a whirlwind, to render his anger and fury and rebuke, and his rebuke with flames of fire. And by fire and by his sword, Jehovah will judge all flesh, and the slain of Jehovah shall be many. Those who, here's the key, those who sanctify themselves and purify themselves to go to the gardens after an idol in the midst, eating swine's flesh, that's the pig, and the abomination, that's all those things that we read in Leviticus, right? We read what was the abomination, and the mouse. It says, they shall be consumed together, says Jehovah. In other words, they're going to be devoured by fire.
There's eternal consequences, not only consequences for your health on this earth, but eternal consequences. You may have a doctor say, oh, that's fine to eat. Well, you know, there's one reason why there's not many people that attend our church, and this is one of
them. This is one of them, absolutely.
They don't want to hear what God's word says, so they don't want to change their life. They enjoy these things. Oh, it tastes so good. And it may taste good. I don't know.
Ed, you know this. I have family members that stopped coming because we stand on this principle from the Bible, what God taught. And it just occurred to me, I want to just share this with you and everybody here. When I read this for the first time just now, I realized that the word abomination is in here. I've seen it before, but now that I saw it so many times in Leviticus 11, it says, because listen, eating swine's flesh and the abomination and the mouse. So it's not leaving out any of those things that you listed, that you read in that list in Leviticus. Mm-hmm. That's amazing to me.
This is why you've heard us say a lot, We teach and preach on popular things.
Yes.
We simply just read to you what the Word of God says. You do with it what you like.
Yeah.
But we want to be honest about what God's Word says. We want to be faithful to what God's Word says. We want to be truthful about what God's Word says. We're not here to make you comfortable.
And we don't, look, nobody wants to be unpopular or unliked. We don't do this because we want to stand out from the crowd. We do this because this is what God's Word says.
Yes.
And we want to live according to God's Word. And let me tell you, for some people, these things are more difficult than for others. When I learned about the Sabbath, it was very difficult for me. Laying down the biblical diet, laying down those unbiblical things to eat wasn't a problem for me. But for others, it is.
Right.
They struggle.
You know, I've been very blessed in my life and my upbringing in that these things were never an issue for me because I knew the truth of God's Word.
That's amazing.
About many things that you ended up finding, hey, this is what God's Word says.
That's why I was so excited about this, Ed, because I can understand. You know, this really puts into perspective things. We have a mediator and a high priest, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And He came here to live so that he could understand what we have to go through.
Yes.
So he has an advantage even over his father, because Jesus has experienced being one of us.
Life as we experienced it. He was made in all ways like his brother, and he came in the likeness of sinful flesh.
Yes. So that experience gives him a qualification and a quality that no one else has. And he can come before the throne of God on our behalf because of that.
Sure.
So
he can also, having been tempted in all ways like we are, yet without sin, having been tempted, he can rescue us or help us when we're being tempted.
Absolutely. So he's there to be our helper,
yes,
our comforter. Well, in many ways, he can use us in the same way. If I have experienced something and somebody near me that's close to me is having that same experience, I can say, look, I've been through this.
Yes.
I understand, maybe not to the degree, but I have an idea of what you're going through. And maybe I can help you with this. And that's what Jesus does for us on a daily basis. So it just puts it into perspective. It's really the arrangement that God made in sending his son, and to see in Matthew 15 that these people are rejecting him and he's there to help them and they don't want to hear it.
They have their own way of doing things, their own traditions.
Yeah.
You know, maybe someday we can talk about the traditions in the current churches in the world that are against God's word as well.
I think that would be good to do. So, yeah, this was that was really good to look at those things. And I have a new note, mental note, about the abomination in Isaiah 66.
It just goes to show that we learn things all the time as we study God's word, as we read it, as we talk about it.
It happens every week. Yeah. I learn something that I see something I never... I read the word, but until we connected it, that word abomination keeps popping up.
Yes.
There's a reason.
Right.
Because God doesn't want us eating that garbage.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is.
Yeah. Anything else you want to talk about in Matthew 15?
Let's see. I want to just one more thing, just so people know and understand, just to reiterate. Remember with the clean and unclean foods that God has said, what he has declared clean and unclean, if it has chews the cud and has a divided hoof, then it's clean, like a cow would be clean.
Right. A deer is considered clean.
A deer is clean. That's venison, right. And then with fish, it has to have both fins and scales.
Right.
So a crab or a shrimp, not good.
Yeah.
But something like a salmon has both fins and scales. Right. Shark meat does not.
Right.
So we have to be really careful. And sometimes if you're ever in doubt and you're somewhere and you say, you know, I'm going to do this. I'm going to live by the Bible diet. There have been times that I've been somewhere and they don't say what kind of fish they have.
Uh-huh.
And I'll ask, what kind of fish is that? And when they tell me, if I'm not sure, a lot of times you can go online and you can Google, does this fish have both fins and scales?
Right.
And it will tell you. So I've done that a number of times.
Yeah. You know, think about these things. Consider these things. We're not trying to make these things up out of thin air.
No.
We're just sharing what God's word says.
And so people will have misused and abused churches, denominations. The denomination that I grew up in all of my life would use this text in Matthew to try to falsify what it says.
Right.
And so I guess, we've covered Matthew 15, 1 through 20 so far.
All right. Why don't we continue on to the next account in Matthew 15? If you could read for us verses 21 through 28.
Sure. It says, "Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed.' But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, 'Send her away, for she cries out after us.' But he answered and said, 'I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.' Then she came and worshipped him, saying, 'Lord, help me.' But he answered and said, It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. And she said, Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour.
So is Jesus being mean to this woman here?
No, I don't think so. I think that he was, this really proves her faith.
Yes.
He's not just doing it and just saying, well, she had faith.
Right.
Look at her words.
You know, it's interesting that this lady takes the common attitude of the Jews of that day that the Gentiles are considered dogs.
Right.
And that it's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, well, even the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table.
Yeah.
You know, they're still hearing the gospel, even though it's not intentionally meant just for them. It's mainly for the Jews, but for them as also. Yeah. Remember that it's Paul that really took the gospel to the Gentiles.
Right.
After the accumulation of the 70th week of that prophecy in Daniel chapter 9.
Right. Yeah, Daniel, yeah, you're talking about when the 490 years prophecy,
right,
which ended at the stoning of Stephen in the,
right,
New Testament. In
and
book
that
of Acts.
Last week, the 70th week that's talked about in Daniel is talking about the life of Christ on this earth.
Absolutely. It's very clear.
Yeah.
And so many people use that for another false doctrine.
Another tradition.
Yeah.
That it doesn't speak of.
It's just amazing to me. I want this comment. What a great illustration here with the little dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had dogs. And when you're eating at a table, you and I could be sitting there eating and just
that
calmly
dog is your
talking.
Best friend.
Yeah, that's true. And we're just calmly talking, but that dog's attention is on every bite you take. You ever notice?
Yeah.
Their ears are up as they can be.
Yeah.
And if you drop something, what do?
Oh, they're quick.
They go right to it.
Yeah.
And really, isn't this the case a lot of times? The people, there are so many people who want the truth of God's word, but they've never been given the opportunity to hear,
yeah,
it, or they've never heard it. This is why we do this ministry, to give the people a chance to grab those crumbs.
Yeah.
Because so many times we're starved for it in this world. Religious leaders are teaching things a lot of times that are not right, and they're justifying things that the Bible condemns. They're compromising.
They're getting out their biblical gymnastic team and, mm-hmm, making it say things it clearly doesn't say.
Right. By jumping from one verse to another, yeah. Like doing gymnastics.
Twisting the Bible.
Yeah. It's amazing to me. And no, your question was Jesus being mean to her? No, it actually, this was a great example to be recorded for us,
mm-hmm,
to read. And it shows this is the kind of desire we should have. I'll take the crumbs.
Yeah.
I'll take the crumbs. I'd rather have that than nothing.
All right. Why don't we continue in verses 29 through 30, this next account. This is from the Modern King James. And moving from there, Jesus came beside the Sea of Galilee, and he went up into a mountain and sat there. And great crowds came to him, having with them the lame, the blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and they cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. So much so that the crowd wondered when they saw the dumb speak, and the maimed sound, and the lame walk, and the blind see, and they glorified the God of Israel.
Hmm. What an amazing account.
Didn't matter what was wrong, Jesus healed them. And they understood that this was from God, that God was working through his son, Jesus Christ, that the Spirit of God in him was empowering Christ to perform these miracles.
Sure, absolutely. And that's the thing. You know, this was what's amazing to me about these things is if you look at the book of Isaiah, you have an account here of the lame walking and the deaf hearing and the blind seeing. And Jesus did this here in this account, but he's not just going to do this on a local level. This was a localized event. He was showing them his kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
He was giving them a little glimpse of it. This is something that's going to happen all over the world.
You know, it reminds me of Revelation, chapter 21.
Yes.
I want to read the first five verses. It says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea no longer is. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there will be no more death, no more mourning, nor crying out, neither will there be any more pain, for the first things have passed away. And he sitting on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful."
Mm. And that's the promise.
Yes, the end of sin, the end of sickness, death, sorrow. It's going to be done away with.
Yes, forever.
Yes.
It'll never come back. And this is what I love about these accounts. We read these things. Ed, this is very real to me. And this is a hope that I have, is that nobody will say, "I'm sick." Nobody will die. There won't be, in your profession, there won't be paraplegics or quadriplegics. They'll have all of their limbs. They will work. They will work the way we were created to work.
This earth is full of people that are sick and have all kinds of diseases and all kinds of maladies and all kinds of difficulties with mobility and seeing and hearing and speaking, and none of that's going to be around.
And Jesus healed every infirmity of those people that came around.
Every single one.
And the right before that, he cast a demon out, right?
Yes.
So we can see that there is nothing that God can't do through his son, Jesus Christ. He can accomplish these things through Christ. Jesus is doing the will of his Father to come here to live this life, to do these things. And as we read these accounts, there is one account where Jesus, a woman touches his garment, and he felt, it taxed him physically. He felt it go out.
Sure.
He felt something come out of him. And I'm thinking, when he did these things, he's giving of himself.
Mm-hmm.
Even though his Father's giving him what he needs to do it.
This is the work he came to do. He was faithful in doing it. He came to be a servant.
Yes, he did.
The Son of God, sitting on the right hand of the Father, came to this earth to become a human being,
mm-hmm.
to serve others, to provide salvation for the whole world, those who will accept it. You know, I love that story that you talk about, the woman that had a blood issue for years, and she touched the hem of Jesus' garment and was healed.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus says, "Who touched me?"
The disciples
are going nuts. "What do you mean? What are you talking about? There's people crowded around. You're pushing and shoving and jostling you all the time. What do you mean, who touched you?"
Yeah, it was always, "Lord, what's wrong with you?" You know, they were men. They were walking with the man, Jesus Christ. And could you imagine what it would be like to witness these things, to be eyewitnesses to this? And I have to say, as a ministry, we've seen things happen with our ministry that we never thought would be possible.
Right.
And so God is actively working today, and so is Jesus Christ. Ed, we have about a minute and a half left. How do you want to wrap up?
You know, in all these verses that we read, these verses of hope,
mm-hmm.
verses of instruction how to live our life.
Sure.
I see so many traditions and the commandments of men trying to do away with these things.
Mm-hmm.
and falsify them and make them different than what they are. It is so prevalent in the world that we live in, the Christian world that we live in. It is so important to read your Bible, to know for yourself what it says, and you can decide for yourself whether or not you want to believe it, whether or not you want to apply these things to your life. It's your choice.
Yes.
God has given you the freedom to choose to do according to what you want to do.
It's so true. And the God that we worship is a loving God. He's not going to ask anything of us that's impossible.
Right.
He's going to give us the means to be able to do it. This is why he sent Jesus. And there's nothing that we could experience that Jesus can't sympathize with us and understand and know and help us to overcome.
You know, there's so many spiritual things that people question and don't want to do that not only have consequences today, but they will have eternal consequences. The same with what you eat. They will have consequences today, and they will have eternal consequences. And people need to know that so they can choose with knowledge. You've heard what the Bible says. You've read it, what you said with your own eyes. Choose. Choose who you're going to serve today. As Joshua said, choose today who you're going to serve.
Yes.
As for me and my house, we'll serve God, the Lord God.
That's right. Yeah, I think in the modern King James, it says, as for me and my household, we shall serve Jehovah.
Yeah.
And I was very familiar with that text, but the problem was I didn't realize that most of my service was toward the church rather than toward God himself. And that's the question. What are we going to do with it when we know it?
Right.
Make that decision. Choose life.
Yeah.
Right?
God will empower you to do it through his son, Jesus Christ.
Yes. So we're out of time, friends. So let's have a closing word of prayer. Father in heaven, we're just so grateful to be here, and we're just thankful for your word, the Bible, the instructions that you give us. We know, Father, that they're for our good. May we overcome our selfishness and just want to follow your word and do things according to your will. If people are struggling with these things, Father, just draw them out. Help them to come to you. Help them to ask for you to send your son into their hearts, that they too may cry, Abba, Father. And Father, we're just grateful for the gift of your son, Jesus Christ, and your printed word, the Bible. We just ask that you'll be with us till we come together again. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Ed, thank you so much for leading this evening. And friends, we want you to tune in again next week, if you would, 7 p.m. right here on New Visions Radio. And until next time, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.